Shafiq Amin, who is one of our congregants here at Unity Renaissance. I'll give you a little bit of background about him before we begin our conversation. Shafiq grew up in Philadelphia, was raised Southern Baptist, attended Taylor Baptist Church through his adolescence in Philadelphia. He converted to Orthodox Islam at the age of 22, and over the past year, he has transitioned to Sufism as a Sufi Muslim. He's been attending Unity Renaissance regularly for the past few months, and now considers it an integral part of his spiritual journey. Shafiq has a bachelor's degree in English from Virginia State University, a master's in early childhood education from Norfolk State University, a master's in educational administration from Regent University, and a PhD in educational leadership from Virginia Tech. He currently serves, see there, you don't even have to say anything. He currently serves as Director of Clinical Experiences and Student Services and Assistant Professor of Education at Norfolk State University. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to Dr. Shafiq Amin. Would you like some water?
No, I'm good.
So Shafiq, you were raised in a Southern Baptist household, so yeah. What prompted you to convert to Islam at the age of 22?
When I was 17 years old, my father and mother, they were going through a divorce, and my father, to get his life together, converted to Islam. But when he converted to Islam, he converted through the Nation of Islam, more of a black nationalist movement, and he introduced me and my older brother to Islam through the Nation, but I always knew that that wasn't the path for me, but I enjoyed the structure, the ability to clean up your life and to be a positive example to your community, so I took those principles. And eventually, when I went to college, undergrad, I wasn't doing well academically, kind of wayward. I think I looked at a college as an extended vacation. I needed structure. And one of my friends, who also went to Virginia State, was a merchant seaman. And during the summer, he went overseas, and he converted to Orthodox Islam, and when he came back on campus the fall semester, he pulled me and a group of young men from the north aside and said, this is the path that we should choose in our life. And everything that my father told me and then the things that my friend was telling me, it just started to make sense. So I converted, legally changed my name. My name is Shafiq Akil Amin. Shafiq means wise and compassionate. Akil means wise and intelligent. And Amin means trustworthy. So I wanted to have names, not of who I am, but what I wanted to aspire to.
So what prompted you to transition to Sufism? And what does it mean to be a Sufi Muslim?
So I'll go to the second part first. So a Sufi Muslim is one who practices the tradition of Orthodox Islam. We have five principles. You believe that there is no God but God, and that's the La ilaha illallah in the song. We pray five times a day. We give charity. We fast during the month of Ramadan. And then once in our lifetime, we make a pilgrimage to Mecca, to Saudi Arabia. So we practice all of those. But Sufis, what we do is that we focus more on the internal and the spiritual and mystical development of our souls and connecting us to God, as opposed to the external portion of ritualistic Orthodox religion. So those are the differences.
So you still You still honor the five basic practices.
Correct.
Of Islam, but you add the sort of the deeper focus on meditation and turning
Correct.
Inward.
So the focus for the spiritual part, as Reverend Paula said, that we still follow the five traditional aspects of the Islamic faith, but we really, really look deeply into seeing God as a part of us. And we spend a lot of time chanting. We'll say La ilaha illallah. We have, these are called dhikr beads, and dhikr beads are similar to rosary beads in Catholicism. And you just say La ilaha illallah 35 times, and it keeps God on your mind at all times, and that's our chant. We have an internal and constant meditation that we go to or go through for the Sufis, and we really focus on having that conversation with God on a regular basis. And then we not only pray five times a day, but we add additional prayers that really allow us to be in constant communication with God all the time. That's one of the things about unity that I love so much, is that the focus on spirituality, it really separates you from everything else, because now it's not externally what you're doing. You're doing everything possible to cleanse your soul and to get you closer to the Creator.
Yeah. So it's been about a year since you
Right.
made the transition. So what prompted that shift over into Sufism for you?
I think what the prompt to make another transition was, I was starting to look at religion as just that. And it became more of a ritualistic practice, and it seemed like the religion was not aligning with my internal faith. And I found myself, I was going through some turmoil, and God always finds a way to test you over the past year. And I was being tested to the extent that I started to lean on religion to help me go through the test. And then I found out that that was somewhat empty. And then I realized, in order to be able to really deal with the issues in my life, that I needed to spiritually cleanse myself. And once I walked through the doors of Unity and I saw how they accepted all paths to God, and it wasn't just something that they would say verbally, the people actually meant it. And I would go to the prayer chaplains, and they didn't ask me what my faith was, what direction I was leaning into. They just sat me down in a chair and just said, let me pray for you. And things like that, it starts to open up your mind and realize that the spiritual and mystical part of faith is so much more important just to put a label on your particular religion.
Yeah. So mysticism is a big part of this, mysticism being that connecting with the presence of God within. So what is your concept of God, and what, when you have what we would call an experience of God, what is that like for you?
So I look at God as being all-encompassing, that God is omnipotent. God is always present. And I can see God in other people. When I look at someone who is genuine, and when I look at someone who has a sense of humanity, that I want to be a part of that, to me, that's all a sense of God and how I look at it. And what was the second part of that question? I'm sorry.
It was, describe your experience of God and your concept of God.
So my experience as it relates to God is, before I would just look at kind of the religious aspect of it and what we look through and look at in scripture. So I read the Quran, which is the Islamic holy book, but I also read the Torah, and I also read the New Testament. And then, you know, I still look at Buddhism and other forms of spirituality. And the more that I read, because I'm a student of religion, that, you know, the core essence of faith, not religion, but the core essence of faith can be found in all of the paths of God. And when you can take away the biases of, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Buddhist, and just look at it from a purely spiritual sense, then that's when I really see the true brotherhood and sisterhood in humanity. And that's what I look at.
So there are divisions in our country, although not necessarily here at Unity Renaissance. As a Sufi Muslim, do you ever encounter anti-Muslim sentiment? And if so, how do you deal with it?
So I had a long conversation with Reverend Paula, and I've never really experienced anti-Muslim sentiment throughout the U.S. I've been in public and private education for the majority of my life. During 9/11, I was a high school English teacher, and the majority of my students, they were probably raised Christian but not really practicing, but the school and the students were nothing but supportive. You know, I never received any negative sentiment whatsoever. I told Reverend Paula that me personally, I get more anti-Muslim sentiments from Muslims. And I think the reason that is, when you look at Sufi Islam, it reminds me so much of how traditional Christians look at unity. So the Sufis, we're the outliers, so we're the ones who are on the fringes, and some people may not even look at this or look at Sufi Islam as a part of Islam. So that's why I said before, not relying on faith, but relying on your spiritual presence. It makes all the difference in the world to me, because you're doing this for God, and you're doing it to be a better person, and you're not trying to please anybody, you're not trying to fit into a particular box. So the sentiment that I would experience negatively, anti-Muslim sentiment, in my lifetime has been from Muslims, not from non-Muslims. Most non-Muslims, if anything, they ask you questions out of ignorance. They just don't know. And some Muslims get offended when people ask, well, you pray five times a day, do you look at Muhammad the way that some Christians look at Jesus? The Allah that you pray to, is it a separate God? Is it the same God we pray to? Just basic questions. And when you just, you know, kind of get out of your feelings and just answer questions from the sincerity of the person who is asking the question, it makes things so much more simpler.
So I haven't asked you this before, but mm-hmm. Just knowing that people have different understanding of Islam, mm-hmm. is there any sort of overall misunderstanding about Islam that if you could just let people know, listen, this is the one thing you're misunderstanding about this religion, to just sort of set the record straight?
Probably two. I guess the one that I think is the biggest misconception is that you can't be a Muslim unless you love with all of your heart Jesus. So many Christians think that we don't even believe in Jesus. But to be a Muslim, to be a real Muslim, you have to believe in Christ. You have to believe that Christ was divinely sent by God. You know, like all of the great prophets, the great messengers. And there's so many people who don't know a lot about Islam that they think that, you know, we worship Muhammad, that we discount, you know, the love and the compassion and the brotherhood that Jesus brought to humanity. But if you really read the Quran, they said the closest messenger to Prophet Muhammad was Jesus. And a lot of people don't know that. And a lot of it has to do with Muslims, because a lot of times their focal point is on Muhammad and the things that he brought to the faith. But, you know, you can't be a Muslim and not believe in just the divinity of Christ and what Christ brought to humanity, and his one of his singular message, and his singular message was that, you know, we are love, and love as love goes forth in everything that you do, and he was the perfect example of that. Sufi Muslims, we believe that Jesus is like a Sufi master. We believe that his mystical powers that was granted to him by God is something that we aspire to, the message and what he brought to humanity, and we use that as an example. So that's why it's, I have no contradiction whatsoever coming in here and hearing about the way shower and things that he has done. It is in total alignment with my belief system.
And where I really feel, as you describe that, where to me there's such an important parallel between Sufism and, well, actually even Islam, mm-hmm. and what we teach here, the focus being on Jesus's teachings, on right. his message, the mm-hmm. life he lived. So really the gospel of Jesus, if I may say, more than, for example, the gospel of Paul, or what right. became sort of the foundation of the organized church. Is that accurate?
Right. So we look at the historical Jesus, and I always tell people that, you know, no matter what faith you have, that you have to look at the root of the individual who is credited with that particular faith. A lot of times when people think about Christ, that they think about the supernatural Christ, and they think about his 3 years of divinity as opposed to his totality of his life, how he led his life. What did he do in his childhood? How was Mary selected out of all of the women on earth to be his mother? God doesn't do anything haphazardly, that strategically he selected the best example of womankind to be his mother. And when you look at that, that him coming from Mary and then seeing how, being an Orthodox Jew, going to the temple, following the traditions and the teachings of Moses, not doing anything to cast aspersions on what Moses brought, but to make sure that the followers found a way not to go away from the Ten Commandments and what God sent Moses to do. And when you start to look at that core Jesus, the historical Jesus, the Jesus that had a childhood, you know, had an adolescence, had an adulthood, that you really start to not question faith, but then you start to see why God selected him. And then that's when you really dig deeply into the great messengers of God. When they were sent with a message, and Jesus's message of love and brotherhood and humanity, that if you look at unity and the things that you get from unity, that when they talk on a regular basis of accepting all paths, accepting all people, that is exactly what Jesus did.
Yep.
That's exactly what, and when you look at that's what he did, you know, you start to see that he was an outcast in his community. There were, people think that when they look at Jesus, that he had a multitude of followers. He had a small band of misfits that were cast aside from society, but he did not abandon them. And you got to look at that. And that's, to me, that's what Unity does. I know I'm like a promotional tape for Unity.
That's
but
all
it's,
right. We love that. We love that.
But it's
so how did you discover Unity? How did you find us?
Well, I used to live, well, being from Philadelphia, there are a lot of Unitarian churches. I know, you know, a lot about that aspect of Christianity. I used to live around the corner, and I would drive by here on a regular basis. And I came here a few times, and I really, you know, enjoyed the community and the openness of the individuals here. And as I said, over the past year, the struggles that I had been going through, this just seemed like the perfect setting. And I'm, you know, always grateful and happy to come here and to be around people who are sincere followers. And to me, that, you know, it's easy to talk faith, it's easy to talk religion, but when the metal meets the road, and then you start to have to practice your faith, then you really see if you're on the fringes and you're just a person who talks about religion as opposed to living your faith. And I think that I see that here.
There's a new book. It actually just came out from Unity Books called Unity and World Religions. My copy just arrived this week, which is fortuitous. And there's a great section in here about, and for each of it talks about how Unity teachings compare to that particular religion's teachings. Mm-hmm. And it had this one section about Sufism. I just wanted to share it. The central teaching of Sufism, see how much this sounds like us, is the development of presence and love. Presence is the deep and abiding understanding of and identification with God and the qualities of God. Many psychological and spiritual practices are harnessed to help the personality move from a state of being in separation from God to a realization of oneness. Like Unity, Sufism describes itself as a way of life in which a deeper identity is discovered and lived. This deeper identity is the essential self, with a capital S, what we might call the Christ spirit in Unity. So it's really, really
absolutely
cool, right? We'll have that in the bookstore in about a week or so, that book. So what's most important to you right now on your spiritual path, Shafiq? What's your primary goal,
so,
objective?
I just want to continue to grow spiritually. And the way that I can continue to grow spiritually is to work on the internal as opposed to the external. Next week, we start the month of Ramadan, so I'll be fasting for an entire month, and we fast from sunup to sundown, so we can eat and drink before the sun comes up in the morning, and then we can eat and drink again when the sun comes down. And during that particular time of fasting, then it allows you to not only cleanse your body, but it cleanses your soul. And if anyone has ever been on an extended fast, that you start to think much clearer. You know, you don't have as many distractions. And a part of Ramadan, what we do is that you're supposed to be kinder, nicer. You're supposed to not get angry, not raise your voice, you know, treat your family and your friends and your coworkers better. You pray more, and you give more in charity. And then you also do things during this month that, if you do it correctly, it will be a mind shift for you, and you'll be able to transition that until the following year. So you want to make sure the good things that you did during the fast that you continue to do so. That's what I'm looking forward to in order to spiritually connect deeper with God, to become a better person, and hopefully be a positive example.
So if people want to know more about Sufism, where would you direct them?
So there, I was telling Reverend Paulette, Rami or Rumi is one of the great poets, and he practices Sufism, but when you look at the things that he has done, he has so many parables, so many short stories, so many poems that individuals from Unity, if you read the 40 Rules of Love by Rumi, that you will find that it is so much like what you are taught here. And you'll be able to get quite a few nuggets that it will inspire you to become a better person. And he does an excellent job of just finding ways to make the most mundane, the most simple act, something that you didn't even think about, but now as you start to think about it, then it can revolutionize your life. So I strongly recommend this. There are Sufi websites, Sufi.com, Simply Sufi. You can, you know, look at those online services to see if there's anything in there that could be of your liking. But I strongly recommend this book. Hopefully it'll be in the bookstore.
We do have some copies in the bookstore today, as a matter of fact. And this is actually not by Rumi, but it sounds like it's a novel, and it pulls from Rumi, and made in sort of contemporary, juxtaposed to ancient times. So it looks absolutely fabulous. Yeah. So. Well, would you be so kind as to close us out with something from Sufism, a quote or a prayer or something that...
Sure, so I pulled something
that
out.
...that you particularly love.
All right, so this is a Sufi prayer, but I wanted to mention this before I leave. I love Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. One reason that I love him so much is because it's one thing to talk about faith and nonviolence and unity. It's another thing to get beat over the head and still hold on to that. Because a lot of people can talk it, but once you have to go out there and you're fighting those demons, you're fighting those battles, that it means something. But one of my favorite quotes from Dr. King, he said, "We have foolishly minimized the internal of our lives and maximized the external." Mm. And I think that is... that is so revolutionary in our thinking that we don't think that it's important to look at our souls. It's important to look at ourselves inwardly, as opposed to just going out and just putting on a facade of something that is not even you. And, Dr. King was always big on, if you say you're going to do something, then you need to do it. Mm-hmm. Don't make excuses. And you just have to understand that everything we do, that there are consequences. And you have to be willing to deal with those consequences in order to move forward. So this is a Sufi prayer for peace. So it says, "Send thy peace, O Lord, which is perfect and everlasting, that our souls may radiate peace. Send thy peace, O Lord, that we may think, act, and speak harmoniously. Send thy peace, O Lord, that we may be contented and thankful for the bountiful gifts you provide. Send thy peace, O Lord, that amidst our worldly strife, we may enjoy thy bliss. Send thy peace, O Lord, that we may endure all, tolerate all, and be grateful and have mercy. Send thy peace, O Lord, that our lives may become a divine vision, and in thy light all darkness may vanish. Send thy peace, O Lord, our Father and Mother, that we, thy children on earth, may all unite in one family. Amen.
Shafiq, thank you so much for this wonderful conversation, for being a part of our community, for bringing so much love and light to who you are and all that you contribute. So thank you. It's been an honor talking to you today.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you, darling. All right. Oh, so great. So many insights.